well-being, mental health and faith. And this is really a continuation of our WIG. So for those of you who are new here, each year we have a WIG. WIG stands for Wildly Important Goal. It's the thing that we focus on most throughout the year and we try to get better at. And this year, our WIG is Growing Strong in Christ. And that's what we've really been focusing on throughout the year. So from now until Christmas, we're going to focus on this series, and hopefully it will strengthen our mental and spiritual health and make us stronger in that department. But we really felt that we wanted to do this series now because there are so many things which are happening and have happened which are unsettling and are uncertain, and they can really disrupt our well-being and our mental health. So I just want to, I've called it a timeline of turmoil. I was just thinking about this series and thinking about our world and just looking back over the past few years. And I'm sure that you will agree with me, they've been tumultuous times. So much has happened, so many things which are massively unsettling. So if you remember back in 2016, Brexit, what an enormous thing to happen to our country. What a long time it took to finally get it together. Still the ripples of that we're feeling now. And then we found Hong Kong, and we have many Hong Kongers here, and the troubles in Hong Kong and the awfulness of that and the post-traumatic stress that followed that and the fleeing and the unsettledness of those momentous events. And then of course the biggest event of all, I guess, the pandemic, a worldwide thing. Never in any of our lifetimes have we experienced anything so massive. And that the lockdown, the being isolated, really affected, I think, our mental health. And then right in the middle of that, when you're thinking, can it possibly get worse? It did, with Black Lives Matter. And we saw, tragically, racism raise its ugly head again. And then when we thought things couldn't possibly get any worse, they did, when Russia invaded Ukraine. And it's not just affected Ukraine, of course, it's affected the whole world, and we're still seeing and worrying and praying about that. And it's a scary world, isn't it, when a superpower decides to invade the country next door. And then in the UK, a new prime minister, don't quote me on this, but I think the fourth prime minister in 6 years, roughly, something like that, huge changes very rapidly. And then, as we thought earlier, and we remembered the Queen passing away, the new King. And I think these things have, on their own, they're unsettling enough, but they've just happened all at once, in quick succession, haven't they? No break, momentous events, one after the other, overlapping each other. I think we feel, I certainly feel, like when you were a child on holiday at the beach and you were in the sea and you got knocked over by a massive wave and you tumbled round and round and you were disorientated and you coughed and you spluttered and you managed to find your feet only to find that another wave crashed over you and the same thing happened. And it's like there's been wave after wave of events disorientating us, making us anxious, causing turmoil, unsettling us. And I think with the Queen's passing, even more it feels like the solidity of things has been totally undermined. It's as if the world that we knew is no longer there, and it's a rather scary world out there. Troubled times, seismic changes, pivotal moments, all at lightning speed, all a huge challenge for our mental health and our well-being. And as if all of this isn't enough to cope with, I think that in the world today, the way the world is today presents a real challenge to our minds to just keep them steady. A lot of things cause anxiety and uncertainty. So For example, climate change, it kind of hangs over us, doesn't it? It looms in the background. We worry, what will the future hold? What will happen? Are the problems of climate change even solvable at all? And then we live in a world of social media, and research has shown that social media can seriously damage your mental health. The anxiety, the listlessness that comes from constant comparison on social media, FOMO, the fear of missing out. Earlier this year, Mabel spoke out about the challenges that she'd experienced with horrible comments and bullying on social media, and we've got all that to contend with. And then there's been so much moral turmoil, hasn't there? 214,000 abortions in the UK this year, the highest ever, a record. In the UK, it's legal to abort a baby up to birth if they have Down syndrome, clubfoot, or cleft palate. You're allowed to do that. It's as if we're saying we don't like disabled people, we can abort them. That kind of moral turmoil. I thought there wasn't much left to shock me, but in the UK, in libraries, there was drag queen story hour for children, where drag queens kind of went on tour and read books to children. And it's just this, you know, drag culture tends to be hypersexualized, mimicking strippers and all that stuff. But it's fine, let's have them in the libraries and talking to children. It's like, what's going on? And then, I don't know whether you saw the news article a few months ago, a man identifying as a woman turned up to a rape support group for women and caused so much trauma to the women who had been raped by men. It's just a world where society says this is right, but God says no, it's wrong. Society says this is wrong, but God says no, it's right. And it's very unsettling, isn't it? All of the moral changes, the moral turmoil that there is, to navigate that, to stay true to what God says, it's incredibly difficult. It's incredibly difficult to work out what actually is right and what's wrong. And it can affect our mental health. And we live in a hyper-connected world, don't we? Which presents its own challenges. Paul Chatfield, who preached last week, you may remember him asking the question, the difference between connection and conversation. We're hyper-connected, but we don't have many good conversations anymore. And that's bad for us, isn't it? We take personal issues to work because we can check our phones. We take work home, and it's exhausting. It's great having a technologically hyper-connected world, but it can be exhausting too. And then there's the issues of inflation and the rising cost of living. There's US and China tensions over Taiwan. And then, as if all that isn't enough to contend with and to try not to worry about, each of us have our own private, personal, internal issues that we're dealing with, don't we? Our private worries and anxieties. Those internal voices which can, if we let them, speak doubt and judgment and criticism into our minds. We can dwell over the what-ifs, the if-onlys, and find no peace in our minds. And all this is very widespread. A 2018 survey by the Mental Health Foundation revealed that 74% of UK adults were so stressed they felt overwhelmed or that they couldn't cope. 32% experienced suicidal feelings as a result of stress. 16% said they self-harmed. And 75% of mental health problems occur before the age of 25. They were 2018 figures. The pandemic has only served to increase all of those figures and statistics, particularly amongst millennials and Generation Z, I think it is, young people. Anxiety and loneliness are huge problems. We were watching The Voice last night, and I noticed that almost in every single advert segment, there was an advert by Young Minds. You might have seen it. And it was just taught, I'm just going to quote from it, "The world's a lot for teenagers right now. Exam results, developing identities, raging hormones, a global pandemic, bullying, social media, comparison, climate anxiety, family issues, the list goes on. Almost half of young people struggle with anxiety. And recently, more than 400,000 children and young people a month are being treated for mental health problems, the highest number on record. And that's the kind of world we live in. But I don't know whether you noticed verse 8 of that psalm that we read, Psalm 85. I love this verse. But he promises peace to his people. Everything has been thrown up in the air in our world, hasn't it? Almost everything. Almost all of the foundations have been undermined. But God promises peace because he can be our foundation and our rock in this world of turmoil. He offers us his peace, his well-being, his strength. And this sermon really is an introduction to the series. And I really hope that as we go through the series, we'll find that peace and that well-being which God himself offers. As I said, this is all part of our WIG, growing strong in Christ. And really hope that we can be a stronger church, strong according to 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. There is plenty that threatens to move us and knock us flat. But we can stand firm. And I hope that we will find out and learn how to stand firm as we progress through this series on Sunday mornings, but also through the Sanctuary course in our life groups, or if we choose to do it on our own. God made us, didn't he? And he made us mind, body, and spirit. He made all of them, and they are all interconnected, and therefore we are complex beings. We're very complex, human beings are. And although there's lots and lots of books and experts talking about well-being, what we want to do in this series is find out what God says about well-being, because he's the one who made us. He's the one who made all these components. He knows how we're all connected together. He knows how our minds and bodies and spirits are linked and how one affects the other and all affects all of them. And so we want to go to him and his word to learn about well-being and mental health. He knows more than anyone, doesn't he? How we are and how we're made and how we function. So the sermons in this series will address well-being in many different areas of life. We'll look at physical well-being, emotional, spiritual, relational, financial, and vocational well-being. Those titles all come from a book written by a pastor called Dave Smith called God's Plan for Your Well-Being. And I got in contact with him and said, would it be okay, could I have permission to base this sermon series on those chapters from your book? And he said, yes, of course. So that's what we're going to do. And I like the chapters and the way the book is because it's holistic. It doesn't just focus on the spiritual, focus on the physical as well, and the financial and the vocational and so on. It looks at all areas of life and what God says about each one. So I hope and pray it'll be really helpful. So I've mentioned the word well-being a lot, but what exactly is well-being? Let's think about it now for a while. Well, it came up twice in our Bible readings that Pamela read. I wonder whether you spotted it. It came up first of all in the Numbers reading. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face to you and give you peace. And that word is well-being. And it came up in the verse I quoted earlier as well from Psalm 85. I will listen to what the Lord God the Lord says. He promises peace to his people, his faithful servants, but let them not turn to folly. And that word peace in Hebrew is shalom. And that is a rich, deep, profound word. And it's a word, really, that means well-being. So there are kind of four components, I suppose, to shalom. First of all, it means completeness. It's talking about wholeness and harmony. Nothing missing, nothing broken. That way of life. But it also refers to welfare. It means health and prosperity and wellness. Sorry, I jumped to welfare. That's what welfare means. But soundness means safety and security and serenity. But of course, it also means peace, referring to quietness of the soul, tranquility, contentment, friendship with God and other people, inner calm. It's an amazing word, isn't it? It's a huge word. That word that our Bible versions most probably translate peace, that's shalom. That is well-being. Here's a definition that sums it up really well. Shalom, or well-being according to God, according to the Bible, means taking joy in and being rightly related to God, to others, to oneself, and to the created world. I'll read that again because it's a really good definition. Shalom means taking joy in and being rightly related to God, to others, to oneself, and to the created world. And that's what I hope we'll discover something of in this autumn season, from now through till Christmas. It's exciting to think that that's what God offers us. And it's fascinating that well-being is all the way through the Bible. This word peace crops up again and again and again. Shalom in the Old Testament. There's a Greek equivalent in the New Testament. And in fact, you could argue that the story of the Bible is a story of well-being. So at the beginning, in creation, there was original well-being. When the first man and the first woman were created, they were in complete harmony and tranquility and perfect relationship with each other, with themselves, with God, and with nature. It was perfect wellness and well-being. But sadly, that well-being was lost in the fall. They rejected God, they sinned, and as a result, they lost that status, that state of well-being. Thankfully, though, God didn't abandon them. He decided to begin again. And through Abraham and through Israel, God promised a future well-being. And that came with Jesus. Through Jesus, we get that restored well-being. The reason Jesus came was to make things right again between us and God, between in ourselves internally, which then spills out to other people and the world. The reason Jesus died on the cross was he was taking the punishment we deserve for our sins. We've all been through a personal fall, haven't we? Like Adam and Eve. We need forgiveness. Jesus came so we could have that forgiveness, so we could know that when we die, we're not going to be punished in hell, but we'll go to heaven. But also, so we could start to experience that well-being that God offers. And at this point, I just want to pause and ask you, have you accepted Jesus? Have you come to the cross and said, yeah, I've fallen, I'm like Adam and Eve, I've rejected you, God. I need my relationship with you to be restored. I need to be forgiven. Have you put your faith in Jesus? As I said, when you do that, you not only get forgiveness and a place in heaven, but you get changed. You get the Spirit inside you. And you start to become transformed to experience something of God's well-being, which then overflows to other people. And really, the church is part of that. Being part of a church should result, sadly it doesn't always, but it should result in increasing well-being by the Spirit. God moves, so we enjoy well-being from the inside out, so that we help each other with our well-being. Being in community is good for your wellness. And as we start to experience that, we also look forward in hope to perfect well-being, when all things will be restored and we will live in harmony with God, with ourselves, with others, with nature. So in that sense, the Bible is this story of well-being. But actually, it's more than that. You see, the Bible is not just about God telling us about well-being. God himself is our well-being. God has this title, Yahweh Shalom, which means the Lord is peace. He is our well-being. He is the well from which all well-being springs. And as he becomes part of us by his Spirit, we get that from him. And in this series, we're going to find out more about what that means in our lives, in our everyday lives, how he is our well-being. And hopefully and prayerfully, that should strengthen our mental health and our faith in these really difficult, troubling times that are full of so much turmoil. As we go through this series, we're going to kind of base our studies loosely on the life of Elijah for two crucial reasons. First of all, Elijah really struggled with his mental health and his well-being. In fact, at one point he had suicidal thoughts. He went that low. But God came to him, came alongside and helped him. And it's just wonderful to see that. And as we see God helping Elijah, hopefully we'll be able to experience God helping us in a similar way. But also, there's a lovely verse in the New Testament referring to Elijah, James 5:17, which says he was a man like us. And he was. He really was, because he suffered collapse, burnout and breakdown. But then he encountered God, who restored and recommissioned him. And we go through similar struggles, don't we? We identify with Elijah. Maybe you're going through something at the moment. Are you struggling with your mental health? God cares, just like he cared for Elijah. And we care, as a church, we care for you. We want you to get better. We want to get better at understanding you, and we want to walk alongside you in your struggle. Maybe you're feeling burnt out. Maybe you're so tired, you're just exhausted, and it's a job to get out of bed each morning. Or perhaps you feel like you can't cope, you just can't face the day. God knows, just like he knew how Elijah felt. And hopefully, throughout this series, he will come to you and restore you and recommission you as he did Elijah. Well, let's finish off. And I want to try and keep this series practical. And here's a few things that we can actually do that would hopefully help us in our well-being and mental health and faith. So first of all, we've seen the trailer. Is that my hearing aid, or is it? It is my hearing aid, or is it just? Is everyone else hearing that? Sorry, I'm hearing impaired, and I'm thinking, are they whistling, or it's not me? Okay. I was suddenly thinking, oh dear, am I going crazy? Anyway, we saw the trailer, didn't we? The sanctuary course, and I would really, really encourage you to do that course. Yes, you can do it on your own, but it's much better to do it with a group and learn together. Join a life group. Speak to me afterwards if you're not part of a life group and you'd like to be one. Because what's really good for our well-being is being with each other on Sundays, but in a smaller groups. We can get to know each other better and start to open up and share and receive mutual support and encouragement. And I just want to read you a few quotes from that trailer, which I thought were really, really good. So culturally, this is the first quote, mental health issues are just not recognized in the Asian American experience. There was certainly a kind of stigma attached to it. I wonder what your culture makes of mental health and well-being and so on. Is there a stigma attached to it? There has been in British culture. Thankfully, that stigma is reducing, but it's still there a little bit. Hopefully, those stigmas will be reduced so we feel free and open to talk about it. Another quote, I felt so much shame. I couldn't let somebody else into that world. And there is often shame attached to depression or anxiety or whatever, isn't there? Because we think, well, I've got everything going for me. I'm married, I have a nice job, a house, etc. And why do I shouldn't feel depressed? And we feel ashamed. But hopefully you won't feel so ashamed that you can't tell someone about it. You'll learn to share and get help. And here's a really inspirational quote. Your struggles, sufferings, your diagnosis do not exclude you from belonging. And they don't exclude you from belonging to Argyle Community Church. You are welcome, whatever your struggle. And then a final quote. God is here, and a really good church community would say, and we are here too. And I want us to be that really good church community where we walk alongside those who are struggling. A church where it's okay to not be okay. But maybe you're thinking, well, we're doing this course, but I feel fine. I don't have a problem with my mental health, and I'm okay. How does this relate to me? Well, I really hope that this course will give us understanding, wisdom, compassion, and empathy, so that we can better care for those who are struggling. And that's what our community does. When my wife was ill, you guys who weren't struggling, you came and helped her through. And that was key to her recovery. That was absolutely essential. Yes, medicine is important, and therapy is important, and counselling and so on, but so is community. They told us that a lot at Prospect Park in the hospital there. And this was the community that helped to heal, helped to get her back, and so on. And I watched and saw that, and I hope that we'll continue to be that kind of community. Now, another thing we can do is read a book, and I have a book that I recommend to you called Hope in an Anxious World, and we're going to watch a short trailer that tells you about that book now.
Do you ever wonder what life without anxiety could be like? Do you dream about being able to get through the week without those sweaty palms, that churning stomach, or the thoughts that spiral out of control? If you do, you're not alone. There are about 284 million of us around the globe struggling with anxiety, with that number set to rise as the pandemic continues to take its toll. And whether that anxiety is mild, or something more like a phobia or post-traumatic stress, most of us want help to keep it under control. But how can we address our anxiety? That fear, that worry that rises when threats, real or perceived, come our way. In Hope in an Anxious World, we look at what anxiety is, dip into some practical tips on how to manage it well, but then go on to consider what God has to say in the middle of our fears. We look particularly at God's response to the lies that anxiety whispers in our ears, and see that far from being isolated, lost, and unable to keep going, in Christ we're loved, led, and lavished with all the strength we need to carry on. So whether you're someone who regularly reads the Bible, or someone who is just mildly interested to hear what it says on a topic like this, why not pick up a copy for yourself or a friend? And together, let's find hope in an anxious world.
Hope in an Anxious World, six truths for when things feel overwhelming. That's my book recommendation for you. There are some copies out in the lobby, they're free. Some have already been taken, so be quick. But if not, they're not very expensive, they're easy to find online. Do read that if you're struggling or you know somebody who is struggling with anxiety. Another thing that we can do is read some more books. So also in the lobby, there are other books about anxiety, about eating disorders, all sorts of things. One book in particular is a study guide for students who are feeling anxiety. It's difficult, isn't it, going to secondary school from primary or starting a new class even, having a new teacher can be an anxious time. If your child is like that, why not get a copy and work through it with them or encourage them to work through it on their own? Also, we have a book here, lots of copies of these books. It's called A to Z of Wellbeing, and it's by Ruth Rice. She came here and gave a presentation on wellbeing cafes, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Really helpful to use, we've been using as our personal devotional times, just going through different aspects of wellbeing and getting lots of blessing from that. If you want one of these, they're for sale please can you just chat to Mark? Mark, can you just give a wave so we know who you are? He's at the back there. And if you can't afford it, I'm sure we can work something out for you. Another thing you can do is fill in the well-being wheel. So if you got the news sheet emailed to you, you might have noticed this was an attachment. There are some copies in the lobby, and I'll put some on the church WhatsApp. But this is it. And many thanks to Cleve, one of our members who's a doctor who works at Brookside Surgery, for making this available. But it's just this wheel, and they're all different aspects of well-being, and then you just colour in where you're at. And it's really helpful to just at a glance see where maybe you're not doing so well, where you're struggling. That's where I need to get help. It's just a simple thing that you can do to do a kind of MOT or diagnosis on yourself and your well-being levels. And then, as I mentioned, Well-being Cafe or the Renew Cafe or Refresh Cafe. We haven't quite thought of the name yet, but we're planning a cafe to replace SatCaf that can be a space where you can just come and be and be quiet, a place where it's okay not to be okay. Anyone can come and join in a hobby or learn a new skill, take part in a workshop or just enjoy some peace. More details about that cafe, we'll share it with you. We've got another planning meeting and then we'll tell you all about it and invite you to it. But finally, as I finish, let's talk about this. Let's not be afraid to talk to one another. Let's begin to talk more as we go through this autumn series. Culturally, especially if you're British, can be a bit hard to talk to other people about how you're feeling inside. But let's learn that new skill. And please come and talk to me if you're struggling. I'm not an expert on wellness or mental health, but I can listen and walk alongside you and pray with you. Do talk to my wife, Claire, as well. She's walked that path. She knows the struggles. She's a good listener. I just feel emotional when I think about what she's been through. But talk to her. She knows what you're dealing with, and she's great to have someone to listen to you. We're done. Let's spend some time now just in quietness. I've talked about a lot of things. There's a lot of things to do. Let's just reflect. Allow God to speak. Let's listen to his voice now. Then I'll pray and hand back to Jeremy. Father, as we come into this new season, this autumn season, we pray, teach us about well-being, mental health and faith and how they work together. And Lord, we pray, teach us about your well-being that you offer. Teach us from your word. Teach us from the life of Elijah. Help us be a church where we welcome and care for those who are struggling. Help us to care for ourselves too. Help us to be kind to ourselves and to put good practices into our lives in these anxious and troubling times. In Jesus' name, amen.